This is Radio Zapatista, Chiapas No Se Olvida. Bringing you rebellious voices from Chiapas, Mexico, and the world. The Chiapas state government has been promoting what it calls sustainable rural cities as a presumed solution to poverty not only in Chiapas, but in the world. They are artificially built cities where people from rural areas are concentrated away from their lands. For some time now, we have been covering this issue and reporting on the violence that these cities represent to the people, the right to their lands and territories, their traditional customs, and their economic survival. The fourth rural city planned for the state is Jaltenango, in the coffee-growing region of La Frailesca. We spoke to Canadian journalist Don Paley, who was recently at the site of the future rural city of Jaltenango.
We're with Don Paley, and she was yesterday in Jaltenango, which is going to be a rural city in the state of Chiapas. And Don found some very interesting conditions there, and we've asked her to speak a bit about them. Could you describe the general situation, how the people are? You've told me previously that they're being kept in a stadium. Why are they there?
Jaltenango is a medium to small size city in Chiapas, in the Frailesca region, which is mostly coffee producing. And they are building a sustainable rural city on the entrance to Jaltenango. It'll be 625 individual houses, approximately. And so, you know, the city of Jaltenango and its residents, you know, have pretty much a quote-unquote normal life. But we went yesterday to visit a group of people who used to live in what they call Nuevo Colombia, which is a communally owned ejido land outside of Jaltenango. Last September, there was a heavy rainstorm and there was mudslides in their community. And they actually spent the night of the rainstorm in their houses. And the next day they went down to Jaltenango for supplies and were asked, I'm not exactly sure which, to stay temporarily in the warehouse where they store the coffee, because at that time the warehouse was empty and people were worried about going back to their houses because they thought, well, there might be another mudslide. So this temporary arrangement turned into them staying in the coffee warehouse through the month of September, October, November, until December. And in December, the coffee harvest starts. So they were moved at that time, December 2010, into where they are now, which is a sports complex. There's over 100 people a night who are sleeping in entire families in an auditorium on small mattresses. They don't have beds, there's no walls. The city government of Jaltenango is providing them with the food for three meals a day, which the women are cooking. And this government has moved the school. The teacher from the ejido of Nuevo Colombia is now only giving classes in what essentially to me looked like a refugee camp. So we're talking about plastic tents with blankets for walls, very temporary setup, and then everybody sleeping in a huge common room where there's been infestations of parasites and also different kinds of diseases. So that's the folks that are from Nuevo Colombia who are living on the edge of Jaltenango in the sports stadium have been promised, and were promised in September of 2010, just following the landslide, that they would be moved into a rural sustainable city. And that promise came from Governor Sabines. And they were initially told it would be 4 months until the city was built. So that would have been February, about, of this year. And so, but we also checked out what that actual rural sustainable city looks like yesterday, and there's not a single house built. They built the whole, you know, facade of a front gate, and they've put up signs saying don't litter because this is a sustainable city, but there's actually still no houses and nobody living there. And so nobody seems to have any idea when it's going to be built and when they'll actually be able to leave the sports stadium where, I mean, the population of Nuevo Colombia was somewhere in the neighborhood of 300, and right now they estimate that there's over 100 people every night sleeping in the sports stadium. And so it's a pretty pretty difficult and very sad situation, essentially, where they've been promised that they will be relocated into at least to have their own houses, But so far, they're still waiting.
What is the situation regarding their land? Would people be able to go back to their land? Are they able to work it?
Well, what we found out yesterday was essentially that the men have been allowed to go back into the ejido and harvest the coffee. So they did the coffee harvest in December, and that the men are going back to the ejido to maintain the coffee and look after it and so on, and that the women and children have been told they're not allowed to go back. Apparently, most of the houses are fine, but they've been told by the government that if anything else happens there, the government won't do anything, and the government will not help them with any kind of, like, for example, a reinforcement wall or retainment wall or something that would allow them at least even temporarily to go back and live in their houses. So apparently, though, from, you know, the sources that we talked to yesterday who, I mean, most of the people that we saw yesterday in the sports complex were women and children. There's very few men, a few quite a bit older men who I don't think are, you know, still working in the fields. But one man that was there, a younger man, did tell us that they haven't experienced any attempts by the government to have their ejido title removed from them. So they seem quite confident that they'll be able to continue working that land, but that eventually they'll be living in the sustainable rural city and traveling back to their ejido just to work and not to live.
Could you describe a little bit the atmosphere that you found within the sports complex and in speaking to the people? There seems to be a bit of infighting among the people, a lack of organization. Tell us a bit about that.
Sure, just briefly, and these are just sort of initial reflections, because we weren't there for very long. But, you know, the first person to take note of our entrance there, I was with another, with a photographer, was a security guard who's permanently on site. Once we went and asked to speak to somebody, you know, if there was a designate from the community who could speak to us, the woman who's in charge of all the cooking in the kitchens, which is a very important task where they are right now in the sports complex, came out, and almost immediately a police officer was there and someone from an organization called Chiapas Solidario, basically telling us that we had to go seek permission from the mayor of Haltenango before we were allowed access to the camp where these people are living. And it just was very obvious that they didn't want journalists talking to the people who were inside. So we, you know, resisted and resisted, and eventually were not physically pushed out, but basically we were escorted out by the security guard and the police officer. And so we did continue to talk to some of the people outside, just outside of the gate of sort of the compound where they're being quote-unquote housed. And then within the community, I mean, you know, some people, I mean, basically anyone who could afford it from Nueva Colombia is renting a house or has left, because I think anyone that has the available resources would choose not to live in an auditorium with over 100 other people and no walls and no privacy and the diseases and other kinds of insecurity and so on. And it just was obvious that there'd been, that it was just a very difficult situation. Tensions flared extremely quickly, and I think that, you know, that's something that you could say, well, you know, given, imagine you living and not having any privacy from 100 plus neighbors that live on your street, and it's not something that you could say, well, it would be easy to have good relationships with people. So people were talking over each other, they were yelling over each other, they were very upset at the government, some of them, and then others are very much aware that, you know, they need to stay in the good books of the government and didn't want to say anything positive. And so some people were saying to us, well, you should go to the mayor and ask for permission before you talk to me. And other people were saying, you know, well, we'll talk to you directly right now. And it was very chaotic. And then, of course, with the presence of a heavily armed police officer and a security guard standing there as well, it just gave a very unpleasant feeling that the authorities in the community actually weren't people from the community. They were outside agents of the Mexican state.
For more information, visit our website, www.radiozapatista.org. This was Radio Zapatista, Chiapas, No Se Olvida.